100% a gender identity.
Right.
And
you know, one of the things that we talk about, or well, that I see a lot, especially working with students, is there's confusion on what it means to be a man, mm-hmm. what it means to be a woman.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, and so kind of what you said, that they're misplaced, that they've allowed the world to define.
Mm-hmm.
We're not careful. We allow the world to define what's a man and what's a woman, right. when God has already defined it.
God's already defined it. Yeah. And I may be in the minority here, but I think that our Christian culture has also misdefined what a man and a woman is supposed to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think we've gone above the line in that in the past. And we have almost created an obsession of, we have to get back to the way things used to be.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to get back to the way things used to be in our Christian culture.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be very delicate here because I don't want anybody to think that I'm somehow dismissing the good that Christianity has done in our culture, because I believe that is true.
Yeah.
But there are, there's a lot in our Christian culture that was above the line.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We went above the line in a lot of areas.
Yeah.
Where we, in probably an attempt to be, I'll put it this way. When Jesus was interacting with the Pharisees, he was constantly breaking their rules.
Yeah.
He never broke the law.
Yeah.
Jesus never broke God's law.
Yeah.
But he was constantly breaking the Pharisees' law, the man-made laws.
Mm-hmm.
He was doing things on the Sabbath. You know, they had these nitpicky little laws that they came up with that Jesus was always clashing up against. Well, those laws came about because in the ancient days of Israel, when Israel would break God's law, what would he do? He would exile them. He would send in the Babylonians. He would get their attention,
right?
Because they broke the law, right?
Right.
And so what did these ancient Jewish people do? They said, okay, we never want to break God's law again because we don't like being exiled.
Yeah.
We don't like it when the Babylonians come in and rough us up. So let's put some more barriers around God's law.
Yeah.
God's law is this. We don't ever want to come close to that. So let's put another fence around that.
Right.
Right. And so it was, in a way, it was not in, it was not.
They had good intentions.
They had good intentions in a way. You know, they were adding to God's law, which is not a good thing. But their intentions were, if you could say, pure. Although they ended up, like, fast forward to when Jesus interacts with these rules.
Yeah, it perverted further and further and further.
Right,
you said.
Right, and which is something that I think our Christian culture has done with the Word of God in some areas.
Yeah.
We have said, We have said, well, God's word clearly teaches this, and just to be safe, we better not even come close. Let's add some more barriers outside of that just to be safe. And what you're doing there is essentially you're putting human wisdom and God's wisdom on the same level, which is the sin.
Right.
Is to say we understand the way the world works as much as God understands, which is the original sin that Adam and Eve practiced.
Right. And it goes back to sufficiency of scripture, right? Like God isn't sufficient. He doesn't know, you know, like I do. And we don't, like I said, we wouldn't say that doctrinally. We wouldn't say that, but we practice.
But practically that comes out and comes across that way.
And no, it's no different in gender whenever we talk about the church, you know, well, a man does this and a man does this and a man, and it's like, that may be your opinion.
Right. And that may be, that
and it
may
not
work.
Be a bad thing for you practically. But
I was actually having this conversation with my wife this week. We were kind of talking about that because she's in the midst of taking a new job, which is going to take us out of state. And so I'm going to be looking for work in a new place. And we were kind of just talking about like how interesting the dynamics of who works, who doesn't work, right? When you get married, just the dynamics are just so interesting. And there's a lot of voices that for a long time have said, the man has to work, the woman has to stay home.
Right.
That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
That's what God designed. That's just how it's always been. Actually, when you look at history, that's not how it's always been.
Right.
That's actually a pretty modern phenomenon.
Yeah, because
that's post-industrial revolution.
Right. You look at... first off, women didn't just sit at home.
No, they were active in bringing in income.
Well, I mean, look at Proverbs 31.
Right, exactly.
If anyone ever says, The wife should stay at home and just, you know, take care of the kids and that's it. Not doing it. Well, you know what I mean? I'm saying what people allude
to. The stereotype.
Yeah. Right. But Proverbs 31 says that she manages her home in a sense of, like, financially she helped.
Right.
Because she would handle the household, that and that that the Bible is praising this type of woman.
Exactly.
And yes, she did. She woke up early so she could help
yes.
feed her children and, and work and prepare the home and prepare the things that were necessary. And she did take care of you know, the things around the home. But they had there was more value than just, you know, feed the kids and watch them and, you know. But
stay pretty.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's not to dismiss, like, what works for your marriage? Like, at the end of the day, your marriage is to glorify God. Right. And if the balance works best for one to work and one to stay home, and that brings glory to God and it's healthy and it's good for your marriage, by all means.
Right.
Like, that's there's nothing wrong with that.
Right. There's liberty there.
There's liberty there, but that's also not a prescription.
Right.
Right. What was more common in the Bible and in ancient history was for the entire family to work. Right.
Like,
That's why they had so many kids, is so that you could have workers.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, everybody was responsible for helping bring in resources for the family unit. Right. And so this notion that one party, the man or the woman, one person goes to work, brings in the income, the other person stays home, cooks and cleans, that's a modern ideal.
Yeah.
And it's the, not the prescription.
Right.
And it may work, but it's not the prescription.
Right. So there's these false things out in our world that it's like they raise the flag of gender, right? That, that first and foremost, I'm a man, or first and foremost, I'm a woman. And first, the first and foremost in our Christian identity is that we're children of God.
Yes.
Male or female, you know, is important, but that's not something that we should raise the flag on.
Yeah.
First and foremost, that we should, you know, and that we have a perversion of. Mm-hmm. No, we need to know what God's word says about that.
Yeah.
Then you have, of course, materialism.
Yeah.
I mean, this is pretty obvious. I mean, the fact that what we wear, what we have, you know, that makes us. You know, that's our identity. Mm-hmm. And we see this a lot with financially with mm-hmm. people in America. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much of the world the materialism is a struggle, but definitely in developed countries and mm-hmm. where people have disposable incomes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you do see that materialism is common. Mm-hmm. And it's where we play. If we don't have the best of the best,
right,
then we are somehow, we have less value, or we don't matter, we don't have purpose.
Or if we're not progressing financially at a breakneck pace, right? If we're not going up and to the
right
as fast as possible, then we're somehow failing as an American or as an adult or something.
If by the time we're, you know, 25 or 30, we want to be millionaires. Right. You know?
It has to be that, like, I have to be at this rate, and if I don't meet this, I've somehow failed. I mean, that's just such a foolish, exhausting way to live. It's exhausting.
Yep. And you know, even Dave Ramsey, guy that teaches about finances and successful,
mm-hmm.
he says that the problem is not your income.
Yeah.
It's the essentially it's the discipline of
mm-hmm.
of letting things control you.
Right.
Letting you know, the things of this world control you. In a sense of what he means is you'll sacrifice whatever you have to get the new car. You'll sacrifice what, even if, you know, if something was to happen, you would get it repossessed.
Yeah.
Or your home, you'd lose your home if something was to happen to you. And essentially it all boils down to the discipline of, mm-hmm. and self-control.
Yep.
Really, it's self-control. And he says that we not that nice things are bad.
Right.
And that's the trap we fall into. Having a nice car is not bad. No. Having a nice home is not bad. But it's when those things define you.
Right.
And when those things are where you find your fulfillment in your identity, that's whenever you have an identity crisis.
Absolutely. And again, it goes back to listening to the other voices
mm-hmm.
that tell you this defines success.
Right.
This is an image that you must uphold. Yep. Right. You should be known for this. You should be known for that. People should, you know, be amazed at what you have, or the moves that you're making, or like we're listening to those other voices tell us what value is. Mm. And that's where that identity gets misplaced.
And then another one, and this one's very common for us, especially in the United States, is nationalism.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our heritage, because we're American, or because we're European, or because we're Japanese, or because we're this,
right?
That's who I am. You know, first and foremost, I'm an American.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me preface this with saying that Austin and I obviously love the United States.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, condemning that.
Anti-American. That's not anything. The point. No.
But we know that even in biblical times, in John, I believe, John chapter 9, what do they say? We're children of Abraham.
Yes.
And Jesus tells them, no, you're children of Satan. Because they were boasting in their heritage. Our father's Abraham. We're Israelites. Right. We're God's people.
Right.
And it wasn't this personal relationship. It would almost be like saying, well, I'm an American and we're known as a Christian nation, so mm-hmm. that makes me a Christian.
Yeah. And there are a lot
of people that believe that way. And I think that what that does is it's so detrimental mm-hmm. to the gospel.
Yep, it is. And it's detrimental to your soul.
Yep.
It's harmful to your soul because you are placing your identity, your faith, your hope, your joy in a nation that at its best is going to be a microscopic example of what the kingdom of God is like.
Mm.
At its absolute best, any nation at its absolute best is a fraction of a fraction of how good the kingdom of God is going to be.
Yeah.
And when you've placed all of your hope in that institution, you will always be disappointed.
Right.
And so that is a very dangerous trap to fall into of nationalism and this pride that says, this is the greatest nation that's ever been on the face of the earth. And I will not disagree with that statement. I believe that as a nation, America has been the best source of good in the world.
Yeah.
Been a source of a lot of bad in the world too. Be the first to recognize that there have been a lot of harm, a lot of bad things have happened as a result of the nation that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
But America has been the source of freedom for millions and millions and millions of people.
Absolutely.
And I'm not gonna back down on that statement. But when you put your faith and your hope in the flourishing of a nation, and not your faith and hope in admission into the kingdom of God,
absolutely,
you will always be disappointed. And you'll always feel like we need to go back.
Yeah.
We just need to go back to the way things used to be. Things used to be. And are constantly thinking that, constantly feeling like we just need to go back. There's no going back. Like you can't reverse time. I mean, our best hope is the coming of the kingdom.
Each day we're closer,
to
the true kingdom,
right?
And the kingdom of God being,
manifest,
culminated,
like fully realized. Like, and we also need to remember that, This is a totally different topic for a different podcast, but we need to remember that our future hope is in the manifest kingdom.
Yeah.
But Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God is at hand now.
Yeah.
And when we enter into a relationship with Jesus, when we enter into the faith,
mm-hmm.
he plants the kingdom in our heart.
Yes, we're kingdom citizens.
We're kingdom citizens in that that moment right then.
Right.
And so we have the joy, the privilege, the responsibility of living the kingdom, right? Bringing on earth as it is in heaven, right? We have that privilege of, we may be citizens of an earthly nation that is going in a direction that we disagree with, but we're first and foremost citizens of the kingdom of God that will only go for God's glory,
right?
That it cannot retreat. It cannot. Light always pushes darkness back.
Yeah.
You know, so we have that privilege.
And you know, a kingdom that will never fail, never falter, never be overthrown, never, his dominion is, you know, forever, and right. he reigns from everlasting to everlasting.
Right.
And you know, that what happens is we center everything around our nationality.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. And in my case, my specific case, I can, if I'm not careful, I center everything around the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about the United States. Well, right. you look at the end time, you look at, you know, eschatology, look at end time, and it's all about America. Well, what right. about America? What about, you know, and it's like we try to make everything about us, and really, mm-hmm. quite frankly, it has nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
It's about Jesus, the King.
Yeah.
And his kingdom.
Right.
And
right. Last time I checked, there's going to be people from every tribe, tongue, and nation.
Right.
In the kingdom. Right. Right? And that's the beauty. That's the.
It's the nations.
Right. The right. nations are going to come to God.
Yeah.
Right. And I, you know, we don't want to over stereotype and generalize. And I'm not saying that there are, you know, multitudes and multitudes of Christians who think that only American Christians are, like, I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
That's a straw man that I'm not trying to create. But if we're, like you said, if we're not careful, we put America right in the center of all of right. this eschatological timeline that we think we've got figured out perfectly. We yeah. have the charts, we've got the events that have to happen, mm-hmm. and we have it lined up, and which is foolish because Jesus said, "You're not going to know when I return." Like nobody knows when.
No
I'm
one will
not,
know.
Not even the Son. Like yeah. he was limited in his knowledge while he was on Earth of knowing when right. he would return. And so for us to say, this is the timeline mm-hmm. of how things are going to play out for Christ yep. to return, and these things happen in America, these things happen in China and Russia, and these things happen. yeah. Like it's foolish. It's selfish, and it engages in that chronological snobbery that we talked about earlier.
Right.
Because if we read our Bibles, we learn that those Christians
yeah.
thought the same thing.
Thessalonica, they
thought Jesus is returning.
And we don't have to work. We don't do anything.
We don't have to do it. We'll just sit back and ride this thing out.
Yeah.
They thought that their cultural moment was the only cultural moment that it mattered.
Yep.
And as Americans, we can very easily do that.
Yep.
We can say our cultural moment is the only one that matters. We're at the end of days, and any day now, Jesus is going to return. He's going to kick off the 7 years of tribulation, carry out the perfect charts
right.
that we've crafted, but we put ourselves in yep. the center of it. And I'm not trying to declare any particular eschatology wrong or right. in this moment. That's not the point. The point is not to choose one eschatological model over another.
Right.
But it's just a reminder that you're not the center.
Right. And your nationality, where you're doesn't make you better than the other.
Yes.
God loves you, you know, God loves right. me as an American, you know, God loves me just as much as he loves our brothers and sisters all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no greater, you know, favor on me because I'm an American.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would definitely say that I've been blessed.
Yeah.
Because of the yeah. freedom we have of right. being able to hear the gospel, share the gospel, preach the gospel.
Right.
But we don't want to raise the flag of our nationality.
Right.
Because we fall into the same trap that the Pharisees did, and Jesus said they were children of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want to fall into that trap, right? Right?
And just another note, I mean, how often in conversation with other Christians have you heard it say, the church is dying, the church is
right.
weak, you know, the church is shrinking. That is a profoundly, I would say, racist statement. Mm. And not with racial intent, but if it becomes racist because in reality,
mm-hmm.
The global church is growing, is skyrocketing.
Oh, absolutely.
It's exploding.
Thousands are being saved in India every
right.
day.
It's exploding. And for us to look at our experience as
right.
a particular white American Christians
yeah.
and to say, well, our experience as Christians is shrinking, less white American Christians are going to church, therefore the church is dying,
right.
that's a very narrow-minded view.
Right.
When in reality, the church is exploding all over the
yeah,
world.
There are thousands yes. upon thousands are coming to know Christ every day. The
yes.
gospel is spreading throughout right. the nations.
Right.
And so then lastly, ethnicity. And I say ethnicity because there's one race.
Yeah.
And that's the human race. Yeah. And that's what we're, there's one race, but there are different ethnicities. And Jonathan and I, he's a pastor here on staff. We talked about this before, and he, I love when he says this, that I am a Christian man who happens to be black. That's what
yeah.
he says.
Yeah.
I'm not a black man who's a Christian. Yeah. I'm a Christian and my skin color is black.
Yeah.
And I love that.
Yeah.
Because it's not about our ethnicity where right. we're no, those things are important. God created us all unique yeah, and different. Right, and those are right. great.
That's part we of the celebrate beauty of those. The kingdom is yeah, all nations.
Every, yeah, yeah, every nation.
Yeah.
But when our ethnicity defines who we are, yep. we fall into once again a false identity.
Yeah.
And then lastly, and this one is going to really, I think, hit home with most of us, is our success and our performance.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's something we see is, that is a miserable life.
Yeah.
All of these are miserable, but I think, in my opinion, in my life, the most miserable I can get is whenever the false identity of performance
yep.
is, it's draining. It breeds anxiety, mm-hmm. depression, struggle. I mean, it makes you miserable
yep.
to think that it's all about how I perform.
Yep.
And if I don't perform well, I have no value. I have no purpose. I don't matter.
Yep.
What a miserable way to live. But we, that's our culture.
Yep.
I mean, that is our culture.
Absolutely.
Where are you at in life? Where'd you go to college? Where yeah. are you going to go to college? What are you majoring in?
Yep.
You know, how much money does that job make?
Right.
Well, where are you going to live?
What's your title?
Yeah.
Who do you know? What's your network?
Yep. yep. It's all about performance. Yep. And Christian brothers and sisters, I pray you listen. That's a miserable way to live.
Yep.
And I plead with you to, if any of these are where you're putting your identity, except for what God has already declared, I plead with you to seek the Lord through prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Turn from that and remind yourself of what God has already said.
Yeah.
And what God's promised, what God has declared.
Yeah.
And trust in that.
Right.
I'm not telling you clean yourself up.
Right.
Just work harder to not have a fault. No, that's not what I'm saying. It goes back to believing and trusting the gospel, mm-hmm. believing and trusting what Jesus has already, what God has already declared right. through his word.
Right.
And trusting in that.
Right. And I think we need to be reminded that when Jesus came preaching, he preached the highest standard. He said, you have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I right. tell you, if you look on a woman with lust, you've already committed adultery in your heart.
He
has preached the highest standard. But then he also turned around and said, my yoke is light. My burden is mm-hmm. easy. And, or my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're living the Christian life and you feel heavy burdened by it,
yeah.
if you feel like you are not living up to a certain standard,
right.
you have misunderstood the gospel.
Yeah.
You have misunderstood what Jesus preached.
Right. There's rest.
There is rest.
And peace.
Yes.
In the gospel.
Yes. And it's not, if it's creating a heavy burden in your life, you have misunderstood what the gospel is, and you are trying to perform
yep.
for God.
And that heavy burden is that the burden of, well, I've got to do better. I've yep. got to do more. I've got to, you know, oh, I'm not enough, and how could God? I mean, it's this burden of mm-hmm. like Austin said, of performance,
mm-hmm.
and man, it's
it can be crushing.
It crushes you.
It absolutely and, can.
Instead
be
of being free,
yes,
man, you enslave yourself to yep. the one thing, or you know, the thing that we fail at the most.
Right,
we can't perform enough.
Right.
Right? We can't do enough.
Right.
And you're trying to trust in that, and it's something we're all guilty of.
And as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel, it's something that I've had to repent of and
yeah.
because I feel like in times past, I have participated in putting that burden on people.
Yeah.
In my passion to get people excited about living for the glory of God, to you know, pursuing the advancement of the kingdom, in my passion and excitement for yeah. that, I have heavy burdened people into, you need to do these things, right? Yeah. You have a responsibility. You have to do this, or I need you to do this for, you know, for the church, for the gospel, whatever.
Yeah.
Where it was not an intent to create a burden in somebody's life. It came out of a passion to get people excited about the gospel, but
right.
practically it was a heavy burden. And it's right. something as a pastor that I'm always watching out for is, I shouldn't levy burdens on people
right.
to live a certain way, that I should come preaching Jesus and allow Jesus to come in and
right.
transform
allow the word
somebody.
And the spirit
yes,
to
right.
change people.
That's not my responsibility to get results out of people.
Right.
Because that is burdensome. And so from the pastoral end, that's something that right. we have to all be careful of, is not becoming those Pharisees that
absolutely
that demanded results from people
yeah.
and crushed them with our expectations.
Yeah. Well, like I said, this is much, much longer podcast, but definitely rich. And I hope that this encourages you and empowers you, and it reminds you of who you are in Christ. Remind yourself of that daily through word, through God's word, through prayer, and never forget that you're chosen, you're adopted. God loves you. You have a relationship with Him. You've been made right. You have an advocate who pleads on your behalf.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
the Son of God is your advocate, and that you've been adopted to the family of God. You've been sealed with the Spirit, and you are who God's word declares you to be. Thank you for listening today. If this episode exhorted, comforted, or encouraged you, please share it with others. I can't wait to be with you again soon. Be blessed, my friends.